Father,
I pray that this would be one of those moments in the history of a new season. It begins to shift things in our lives in ways that we needed them reshifted. This would be a divine chiropractic adjustment. In Jesus' name, amen. The message series is going to be 8, 9, 10, Let's Follow Again. And the reason it's that way is because I had a plan in chapter 9, and I'll talk about it a little bit, and I was going to do some things. And I felt like God said, nope. He said, I'm going to splice some of these chapters we're going to read together. I want you to remember 8, 9, 10, because what I don't preach, I want you to go read. So like, what's Pastor preaching on? Where's he at this week in the series? What? 8, 9, 10. But the key of this message is follow again. The numbers were to remind you, where are we? And some of us are going to find ourselves right here in the middle of this story. I want you to think about maybe some of the familiar passages in ways you haven't thought. Put yourself in a different place, a different mindset maybe. I'm going to try to slow down, grab some details. But it was really hard because I really got excited. I was supposed to be resting and God was downloading a message to me. Dr. Huddy kept going, stop working. It's your day off. I'm like, well, I just got this message. Mm-hmm. And I was developing chapter 9. I was so excited about it. You know, chapter 9, and I felt like God said something stupid to me that I was like, what? Okay, here it goes. 8, 9, 10. Well, you got to eat 8 and 9 if you're going to be a 10. You got to do everything. You got to follow me the whole way, not just jump in where you want to. I said, oh, goodness. I didn't expect you to talk to me like this right now, Lord. You know, we can be a 10 for God. 10's not perfect. It's just a goal. I was going to make a cool play on words with chapter 9, you know. I had this fun thing picked out, Mark, because the word 9 means no. 9, you know. And I started thinking, well, yet. 9. No. Nunca. Nadia. Nope. Nil. No way. I go, that's the chapter 9. That's what I'm going to preach on, Ed. No way. Why would it be no way? Because no way could I have handled the schedule that Jesus was having. At some point in time, I would have had an attitude. Serious attitude. I would have said, give me a break, man, at some point in time. And I actually told Jesus that. And he said, Peter got cranky too. He said, I had to chew him out every once in a while because he got a little cranky on the follow. Sometimes I get cranky following Jesus, and I'm sorry. I do. But I think all of us maybe might be able to relate to that. And let's not let it keep us from the follow, right? So that's what I want to talk about, the circumstances. Because here's the problem. No matter what the circumstance or reaction, no one's going to react perfect every time. As wonderful as Miss Blanche is, I love you. Forgive me for this. We could put enough pressure on her somehow, probably say a bad word and take a swing at me if we tried. It'd be a lot. I mean, I had to figure it out. But she can't be that perfect. We can get her gumption up somehow. Right? Somehow, some way, along the way, no matter how awesome you've been following Jesus, sometime you're going to really blow it. Right? And you're going to be cranky and you'll be fighting. Anybody ever do that? You follow Jesus right along, man. Boop, boop. You got your bumper sticker on the car. Before you know, dude, what are you doing? Cut me off. New season. Okay, all right. Okay, you know. So my original sermon destination was like chapter 9, you know. But you really can't separate chapter 9 from chapter 8 because it's all part of the same journey. So I'm going to highlight some things in chapter 8, and then we're going to jump to the scriptures of it. So to set the stage for 8, 9, 10, let's follow again. Let's start with Matthew 8, 1. I'm going to skip around after this. Matthew 8, 1, great. When Jesus came down from the mountain, let's just stop there for a second. Why was Jesus on the mountain? You know, part of the reason was he was teaching a lot, like every day he's teaching crowds of people, right, teaching. And then he had to deal with these people called the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and that made him sad, you see. Very sad. because there were people constantly ripping at him, tearing him apart. Pastor Jesus, you said this. Blast it on Facebook. Man, I never said that. Pastor Jesus, did he heal this? Oh, prove yourself. And wow, let's debate for 4 hours. Who loves a four-hour debate with a bunch of people who have no idea that to want to get truth or want to get understanding? They just want to argue. Ever been in a four-hour debate with someone who just wanted to argue? How excited are you after that? Right? Not. And then these guys are following around in this constant. So he's in his human suit, right? He's like, I gotta go with my father. I need to get alone, go up to the mountain. And then it says, large crowds follow him as soon as he came down. Ever come back from vacation and want one more vacation day? Or you just want to eat, like you set up your schedule to ease back into work. Like everyone thinks I'm only off till Friday, but I'm off till Saturday. I didn't tell anybody about it, right? And Jesus, after like I need to get up to get with the Father, comes down and immediately, as soon as he gets back from his time with God, people, not just people, a large crowd, say a large crowd. Instantly, I felt bad for Jesus right there. And I start thinking about the disciples too. It says, large crowds follow him. And you know what? Disciples need to get used to that. And sometimes that's not easy to do. But he's trying to get them used to. Jesus got an agenda that's going to stretch us beyond our human suit sometimes. Going to stretch us to the place where we get fussy even. And he's looking at our hearts and he's like, will you still follow me if I take you to fussy places? And Jesus, though he seemed worn out right a little bit before chapter 8, there's so much that's about to happen. He needed to get alone with his father to recharge. That's how I looked at it. You know, any gamers out there? Anybody play video games? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. I know some of y'all just start calling your names, Christian. Anyways, what's the worst thing? Like you go to play your game, you get up there, right? You got your controller, and you're like, oh, low battery. Dude, I was scoring my highest score. I was about to do, oh, right? So before you get into a big game, you got to charge up. Right? You got to charge up. So he's about game time on. So he's charging up with his father, you know, and the crowds are waiting. They're always waiting. Why? Because there's always a need and Jesus can fill it. There's always. One of the things that they're waiting for is him to keep doing uncivilized stuff. He's stirring the pot a little bit, you know. The first part of 8, I want to do some highlights. If you're the church, say I'm the church. There's some highlights. I want you to read the rest of the things I don't do this week. But in this chapter, there's a highlight. He runs across a leper, all right? Jesus cleanses this guy and tells him to go back and offer to the temple. So this leper comes along, and Jesus cleanses him. And one of the first things that really tick people off is you're not supposed to touch lepers, talk to lepers, interact with lepers. Actually, when lepers at that time, when they came within a visual shot of you, they had to scream out, I'm unclean," like basically, hey, don't come anywhere near me. Right? Jesus stops to talk with the guy. I love that about Jesus. Right? He healed the guy and he says, now go tell nobody. What? And part of me instantly, because my temperament, I go, yeah, go tell nobody. Why? Because I don't want any more crowd. Like, I can't handle everybody, you know? If there was like 5,000 people here, it'd be like, oh, Lord, Nana's preaching today. I can't do that. No way. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a preacher by the toe. Harold, you're up. 5,000, go. You know? Like, Lord, don't do that to me. And I started thinking, go tell nobody. And then he said, go give God glory, though, still. Go to the temple and offer what the sacrifice was supposed to be. He had to give some kind of financial offering to the thing. He said, go do what the law required you from. And sometimes as believers, that's my little pause here, we forget about the Old Testament because it doesn't seem relevant to us. The New Testament would not exist if we're not the grounding foundation of faith or the people of God chosen by God from the beginning of time. We would not exist without that. And so we're going to steam a little bit through that at some point. I'm going to do some old school gangsters that I love. But Jesus said, give God glory. That's all the proof you need. And then right after that, you know what he runs into? We're going to pick up in Scripture in a second. Right after this, he comes down from the mountain, giant crowds all around him, right? And then this leper, he's like, interact with leper. Leper gets healed, has a conversation. And then immediately after that, this guy called the centurion shows up. He's a Roman soldier, over 100 plus guys, and he's got duties to train soldiers for war, and that's his gig. A centurion was actually judged if he saw the battlefield was going poorly and their troops weren't doing well. If a centurion turned and showed any cowardice at all, he was to be instantly executed because he's supposed to rally his men. It's tough. Centurion, this Roman guy. And Jesus interacts with him because he had a servant that he loved, he was fond of. Some servant in his house he cared about. So he sought Jesus out and he explained authority in front of the crowd to Jesus. We're going to talk about it in a second. But here's a weird thing that Jesus said. You know what? This guy gets it. All you people who understand our religious laws and who God is, and I show up on the scene, and this one guy who has no promise or connection to God at all can see who I really am. Why can't you? And he actually knows how it's supposed to work. Why don't you? It's pretty impressive. I'm going to paraphrase their dialogues before we get into Scripture because we're going to be heavy with Scripture. But here's the dialogue between Jesus and the centurion, paraphrased by me. All right, here's the centurion. Help. I need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. You. Right? I need you, Jesus. And he's like, I stopped my duties. Actually, I'm sure when the centurion shows up on the street, because they're the oppressors. They're the Roman oppressors. They're the ones in charge. They're the ones wearing the badges. They're the ones thumping people with nightsticks. They're the ones say clear street. So the centurion showed up. People are like, what's he going to do to Jesus? And he asked Jesus, I need some help. And Jesus says, I'm going to come. And the centurion says something so beautiful. He says, no, I understand who you are, and I know how authority works. Like, I know who you are. He says, I got guys, I snap my fingers, and they do exactly what I say. When I say it, how I say it, with a good attitude. He said, I know who you are. I know how authority works. And Jesus looks at the guy and says, whoa, this guy gets who I am. So far in chapter 8, we have large crowds. Say, large crowds. Jesus heals. Say, Jesus heals. And the Gentiles are starting to get a glimpse of God on earth. Say, authority is important. Let's start from here. Matthew 8, 11 through 13. He has this interaction with the centurion, and then Jesus says, I say to you, that many Gentiles, if you're not, were born Hebrew, please raise your hand if you were not born a Hebrew. So if you're not raising your hand, I'm assuming you're Jewish. Raise your hand if you are not Jewish. It's a majority of us. So he's talking to, before then, the only promise God had was for those who were Jewish. And Jesus says to the centurion after this big act of faith between him, right? He says, many Gentiles will come from the east and the west and will sit down and feast at the table and enjoy God's promises. That's straight fire for us. That means, wait. Well, the stuff you promised Abraham, that's, I can have that. God's bringing me into that whole big promise, Adam in the garden, like that's what me? That's what he's saying. Because before that, they weren't promised anything in the kingdom. Why would he do that? Because. Why will Gentiles be able to enter the kingdom? Why? It says, because they accepted me as Savior. Say, why? Because they accepted me. Why are we allowed to enter the kingdom of heaven? It started from the very beginning of time. That we walked in, we have no Jewish blood. What is at all? We have no claim to anything. Why are we allowed into heaven? Why is Mary there today? One reason, she accepted Jesus as Savior. That's it. He says, all of them who will not recognize me as Messiah, say, will be. See, God's promises are kind of final. Like, he has the final word on things. When he says will be, it's will be. This will be. And some of his will be's I love. Like, I love that. I'll read that again. What will be? Tell me about me. Tell me how you're going to bless me and how you love me. Tell me one more time. Right? But some of his other will be's are like, I won't skip by the will be's, you know? It says, we'll be thrown out. Those who do not recognize me as I will be thrown out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. Say, all that sucks. You can say it in church, all that sucks. Tell me that you can't read that and that doesn't suck. Are you kidding me? There are going to be people forever weeping. There will be. God said it. This is going to happen. Say this, but it's avoidable. It all sucks, but it's avoidable. It does. Then Jesus said to this unworthy Gentile oppressor, the centurion, go and it will be done for you as you have believed. I think you're still with me in there. As you have believed. And the servant was restored to health that very hour. See, that's the stuff. That's the stuff for me. Like, that's the kind of radical behavior that drew me to Jesus. Seriously, I was that kid. Jesus, what? All the religious authorities are dogging him out and he's trashing back to him. Yeah, I like this guy. I don't believe who he is yet, but I like this guy. Why? Because everybody who's big and bad, he's like, uh-huh. And then what else is he? He's healing people. People say you can't even touch or talk to. And then he's breaking outside of the church religious walls and he's reaching people that have no business being talked to by God and he's talking to them. I love this guy. Instantly, Tanner, like, that's where I started falling in love. Like, this guy's radical. Before he was my savior, he was the radical guy I could follow. You know? I love that about Jesus. He was turning stuff up. Culture shakeup, religious shakeup drew me towards him. Anybody have a mother-in-law? I do. You want to hear something crazy? Jesus loves mother-in-laws. Yeah, I got a picture of mine right here. I think I do. There you go. No, I'm just kidding. That's good. My mother-in-law is right here. She's super sweet. She's super sweet. But we're going to talk about Peter's wife's mom. What about Peter's wife's mom? And how she went from being sick to running a bed and breakfast for Jesus. You know, she was sick. And Jesus loves mother-in-laws. Matthew 8, 14 through 15. All right. Yeah. When Jesus went into Peter's house in Capernaum, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. Which, at that point in time, they would have quarantined the house pre-COVID because, oh my gosh, people get sick with a fever, the chances are you're done. This is old school, you know. His mother-in-law, lying sick in bed with a fever, he touched her hand and the fever left her. And then check this out. And she got up and served him. Now, the reason I'm pausing there, because sometimes we get healed up. And the purpose is we got healed up is to go serve him with it. Where's your injury? Where's your boo-boo? What did God do for you? But that's a hard story. That's embarrassing. I know. He's healing that. Why? Because he wants you to serve him with it. That's why I can throw myself under the bus here. Yeah, I can tell you stories that I'm allowed to. When Dr. Heidi's in the front row, I can say more when she's not. You know? It's because I know what God has saved me from, right? And yet he's healed me from. And if I get healed from something, God, I have no business not sharing that with anybody. I have no business not serving him with that. And here's this mother-in-law sick. All of a sudden, she jumps up, and their first move after being healed is, I'm going to go serve him. Is that our heart? But it needs to be, because we're following him, right? It's time to follow him again. It's time to serve him again like we haven't in a while, maybe. Or in a new, fresh way that's going to blow your mind. God's like, I've been calling you, knocking. I'm taking you on a journey through some stuff because I want you to serve me with your healing. I want you to serve me with your healings. So chapter 7, right, Jesus was busy, he took a trip up the mountain, say large crowds. Then he heals somebody, say heals. Say Gentiles, say mother-in-law. Whew, to me, that schedule's done. I'm done right there. That's 8 hours, bro. I'm clock me out, Jody. Yeah. Sir, oof, good day today, Jesus. Way to put in the time. Uh-huh, let's do a little Xbox, me and you. Let's do a little fishing, you know. Let's go down on the boat, a little, me and you, Jesus, on the boat, you know. Let's go four-wheeling. Let's just get away. Let's go back up to the mountain. This is, you know, that's a crazy schedule. The day's winding down. You like your day to wind down? Yeah. Who looks forward to the absolute end of the day, right? In the wintertime, you'll find me out on my deck, my patio, just chilling. It's evening, right? If it wasn't for Thomas Edison, we'd all be chilling. Light bulb, man. So at the end of the evening here, Matthew 8, 16 through 17. It said, when evening came, they brought to him many. What? It's evening. Do you not see dinner on the table here? Peter's mother-in-law just whipped us up some stuff. It's been a long day. The door's closed. The porch light is off. And you're bringing me many?
Oh, goodness.
Okay, many. Okay. In the evening came, they're bringing me many. Many who are under the power of demons. That's a great way to end your night right there. Many who are under, who's at the door? Many demons. Fantastic. Now, his disciples just said, yeah, he's going to kick demons. Yeah. Yeah, if you're there that night and you're sitting there, you've been with Jesus on the road, up and down the mountain, crowds, people wanting you, people hassling you, all the religious authorities who rule your life are marking you as a instigator and a troublemaker, and you got to deal with those guys all the time, and the centurion, and you're just whipped, and then the door, Jesus in there? Yeah, I got Jesus in here, but he's sleeping. I got Jesus in here. Don't knock when it's inconvenient. And don't bring me many. Don't you see I'm tired? Many demons. That sounds like a bummer of a night. Just being honest. After a long day, can we do demon delivery in the mornings at like 10:30? Yeah. Have Luke run by Starbucks, put us all up around, and then we'll deal with demons. No. When evening came, they brought to him many who were under the power of demons. So they left the crowd, they left the leper, the centurion, get arrested. No, demons. And I start thinking about that. There are many under the influence of control of ungodly things that control both our lives and our decisions. There are things in us that has controlled our lives and our decisions. There are things that are within us that have controlled our lives and our decisions. At one point in time, I had many demons. If I don't take the time to care about other people wanting to get free from theirs, then why am I serving him? But it's tough because we get tired. And we get beat up. And we're not Jesus. And it's good to remember that because we're not Jesus. And in all honesty, if I needed something late at night and it was an absolute emergency, I have no way bothering Harold after 10 o'clock at night. I wouldn't do that to him. I'm caring for him, right? But there are times when demons just show up in your life when they're unexpected. There are people under the influence of things that are not God, and you got to deal with that. And how do we deal with it? With an attitude? They're just crazy, that demon possessor. That boy, they gotta. And we forget, no, they're under the influence of something that's not themselves. Right. Just like we were. Right. Just like we were. Remember, this is 8, 9, 10. Let's follow him again. So often we want him to follow us. Yeah. I'm going to take Jesus everywhere I go. Awesome. Great t-shirt, bumper sticker, fantastic. Take Jesus everywhere you go. He lives in you. I am the church, right? I am the church. Take Jesus. But if we keep in that focus too long, we forget that he doesn't follow us. Yeah. We follow him. And we get that off sometimes. Because I love to make plans. And God loves to laugh, you know? He says, and he cast out the evil spirits with a word. I love that right there too. No 6-hour exorcism. When Jesus is there, it's done. YouTube, well, they took 6 hours. Casting's on YouTube. They didn't have Jesus. That's the problem. You can't find anywhere the word where it tells it took him 6 hours, 4 minutes to do anything other than with authority and power. He just told the centurion about authority. We know how it works. The problem is we don't understand how it works in us. I'm going to probably do a midweek, once a month thing coming up, and I don't want to label it because it's going to be something to do with worship, which isn't praise. It's different. Praise is thankfulness. We'll maybe have some of that. Worship is, I have to get on my face and recognize who you are. And I'm going to do some teaching and some things like that in the evening. And we'll get into spiritual gifts and talk about some things maybe during that time. Because sometimes the body of Christ just turns people off from the spiritual gifts because they don't know what they're doing. They're babies with power tools. I mean, power tools are great. And get a jigsaw in Mark's hand, he'll make some. I got stuff for him to fix all winter long. I find stuff around my house. I go, well, I got to call Mark. Put some money in the bank. Why? We got to go home, Mark. You can fix that. I could, but not as good as Mark. But you put that same power tool, as smart as and talented as Ellie Mae is, and she's like 40 at 4 years old, I would not let her operate that jigsaw. And I'd let her touch my eyeball with her bare finger. I trust that kid. But I would not let her operate that jigsaw as a four-year-old. Why? Because she'll hurt herself. It's not the kid. It's the power tool that she doesn't know how to use it and respect it. I think the church has been like that with the gifts. We get all caught up in all these things that the gifts aren't supposed to be. That's going to be something we talk about at a different time. It says, he cast out the evil spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. Jesus showing his authority as Messiah. Jesus and his crew were super busy, right? He did all this so that, say so that, he fulfilled what the word was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, Old Testament gangster. God's guy in the Old Testament forecasted this. Jesus is quoting him, right? It was like a rap song, Christian. Isaiah may have been the rapper of his day, and he's like, I'll throw down the lyrics for you what's happening right now, you know? That's not how it happened. It was a rap song. That's not. He said, I want to call on these things. It says, he fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried our diseases. He's reminding the guys, because it's tough. When you walk so close to somebody, sometimes you become too familiar with them. Yeah. And they're walking with Jesus, the rebel. They're walking with Jesus, the crowd maker. They're walking with Jesus, the miracle maker. They're walking with Jesus. Even the powerful Romans are coming to him for advice. They're walking with Jesus, and they say, what a great, amazing guy this guy. He's going to be the next king. Yeah. And we're his posse. And we're rolling up with him. Yeah. And at some point in time, he had to remind them, I'm way more than that. Right. And sometimes we get so comfortable with Jesus, we forget he is way more than that. He's not our divine vending machine. He's Lord. He's not where we take in every circumstance we go. Take your Jesus load. We didn't know. Follow him wherever he's at. And so it's reminders for us. It says now in Matthew 18:18-23. Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders. Disciples follow orders. How many like to follow orders? Crickets, baby. Crickets. No one likes to follow orders. Yeah, just order me around. Tell me what to do, man. You like that? Tell me what to do. No. Just go ahead. Order me around. I did so bad in private school with that. I couldn't even take good suggestions. Ah! You know, I just had to rebel. No matter what. I'm not taking that. Why? Because you suggested it, sister. Never. All right. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders. You know, the Lord has the right to give orders. He has the right to give orders. He's the only one that has the right to give orders. So when he gives orders, they should be done. How many, when we're asked to do anything, we just slow roll it and procrastinate it and ignore it and then hope? That's how we handle orders sometimes, right? Said he gave orders to cast off for the other side of the sea. Finally, Jesus, we're on the same page, a cruise. It's a good way to end a hard week, a cruise. I love that idea. Jesus, everyone like Jesus' idea? Yeah, come on, guys. He wants to get on the boat. Why? The crowds can't follow us. Woo, the crowds can't follow us. I'll row. You know, let's get away. Then on his way to board the boat, they're getting ready to get on the boat. Like, oh, man, we're getting on Dolly Steamboat. We got it rented out for just us 12. We're going out middle of the lake. You know, what? Just before they got to get on the boat, a scribe, a respected authority, another one of those guys, came and said to him, Master. Do you think he meant that master word? Because master means at your orders, I'll do what you say. But he addressed him as master. Right? Yeah. So remember that he said master first. He says, master, I will accompany you wherever you go. Say, wherever you go. Jesus, wherever you take me, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it so much. I love you so much. Now, if I could just do this, this, and this, and this before you use me, please, Lord, send that. No. Lord, thank you for saving me so much. My life is not my own. I was bought with a price. Your master. Give me an order. It says, wherever you go. And Jesus replies to him some Yoda stuff right here. Jesus replied to him, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So what are you saying? Roundabout way saying, we're not saying five-star resorts? I mean, you're going to be the king. Obviously, you're super powerful. Even demons are obeying you. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord. Oh, use that word, Lord. Just like master. Lord, let me. Here's a problem I do all the time. Lord, let me. Yeah. Ever pray that?
Yeah.
I've been praying for 2 years. Lord, let me get to Samoa. What is the deal? Come on. Seriously, every day there's some conversation between me and Lord going, let me. You said it. You told me. Let me. I realize I'm doing that wrong. I need to start saying, Lord, can I? That's a difference right there. Lord, can I? Lord, let me first go and bury my father and collect my inheritance. This is harsh to hear. What if you said, Lord, let me do something like that? In the outlandish possibility, he said no. I'm not saying he says that to us in those moments. I'm just saying he has the right to in any moment without us being fussy. But Jesus said to him, what did Jesus say? Follow me. So don't stop worrying about the rest of your life. Stop worrying about I healed you and I set you free for a purpose. And I'm asking you to follow me wherever I take you. Because if you follow me wherever I take you, you're going to absolutely fulfill your life's call. Because I'm going to take you right to it. I designed you for something. I rescued you when you didn't have any inheritance. You weren't a Hebrew of Hebrews. You are nothing. Your family line's garbage. You're from a bunch of gangster, gypsy, drug addict. But God. And I pulled you out of that. And I loved you. And I set you up. And I want that healing to go out. But first, let me do this. I want to build a big ministry in Samoa. No! Go to Apache Junction. Apache Junction? Dog track? No! Jesus said to him, follow me. Believing in me as master. He's telling his boys now, you guys believe in me because I'm cool and I'm doing cool stuff and you love rolling with me. And you've been seeing miracles and we are it. We roll into town and people are like, what? He says, you need to believe in me as master. I'm not your friend. I can be your friend and I love to be your friend, but never lose space that I am master. He says, master and teacher, and allow the spiritually dead to bury their own dead. All that after a long day, a demon night, and boat delays. If I'm a disciple in that moment, I'm like, dude, he told us all I would be judgy. Anybody else would be judgy? Maybe none of you are judgy. I'm going to put my judgy self out here. I'd be judgy. I'd be like, man, get on the boat. We just heard all this stuff. You better get on the boat. And Jesus called another disciple. He's saying, come follow me. Stop. Don't do what you're doing anymore. You follow me. He's asking him to do the same thing I just did. And homeboy's, me, 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 me. You know, Peter's like, I ain't seen my wife for 3 months. I was there. My mother-in-law was sick. We had dinner. Boom, we're on the boat. What are you talking about? I would probably have an attitude towards the guy. I would. That's where my sin would be, Harold. I mean, look, I gave up everything. And I've seen God, and I've done it in the church before. I've looked at people's circumstances and go, I've seen God do this and this and this and this in your life, and you're really going to fuss and pop off about that? Stop the Z. Follow him. That's Italian for shut it down. When he got into the boat, what happened? His disciples followed him. Two guys that asked to, that called him Master and Lord, they didn't get in the boat. So when Jesus asks you to get in the boat, it's time to get in the boat. There comes a time where you're not off the boat in our walk. And he says, I'm going to take you deep. You want to go deeper? Follow me and get in the boat. Get right in the boat with me. Drop everything in your life and get back in the boat. Do you remember when you used to follow in that way? If you've never followed in that way, it's the most thrilling thing on the planet. And it requires a real relationship with him. But the more you follow him, that the more that real relationship builds. And he's asking the church again to follow him. To stop so much thinking, Jesus, come with me where I go. Ask Jesus first, where am I supposed to go where you are? That's the season we're in. We're following him again like we haven't in a long time. We're clearing into like, okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do? It's late at night. I know it's late. I'm tired. I just had this. I just had that. I know you did. I'll give you a mountain time, but it's not right now. Yes, sir. When he got in the boat, his disciples followed him. What kept you from following the master again? Seriously. I cut my notes here not to go any further. This is early. Because I want 9 and 10 to be so impactful, because this schedule is about to get crazy busier. And there's so many things in my life that I've shut God off saying, letting him tell me what he can do. And what I'm supposed to do. And how I'm supposed to serve him. And he's asking the body again to step back up into those places and let him be master in those areas. And stop just trying to take him places, but follow him where he is. And some of us, he's calling us out of places. Things out of us. Yeah. We've been under a demonic influence. Yeah. Well, I'm not saying you're possessing, you come and get prayer. Maybe you are. We've had that happen before. Yeah. But maybe there's been something else controlling your life, and you know it's not God. And if it's not God, what is it? Right. I've been serving in my whole life, but there's these few things. Let's get that taken care of. Let's ask the power of God, Jesus, to remove those things in our lives again, because he wants to heal up our demon areas, our sickness areas, our disease areas. And he wants to heal them up, not just to get the follow, but he wants us to get out there and be part of the message. So as the church again, are we ready for that kind of commitment? See, we had the series, Uncivilized. And Kirsten lightly remarked to me, she goes, all this is just coal, fuel to the Uncivilized series. I said, yeah, it is. Because it's time we start living like the church again, being the church again. And that means sometimes we're inconvenienced. Yeah. I felt so bad for you last night. So bad. He didn't have a garbage key that was supposed to be here, and garbage spilled all over his truck. And it was terrible last night, late at night, because he was doing stuff early in the day, and he thought, man. I wouldn't have known it for a second. If you hadn't told me the story, I wouldn't have known it for a second. Are you always that way? Yeah, maybe. Randy's like, talk about that. But that's letting Jesus knock and you answer at any time he asks. I think he's looking for that in all of us again. You know, there's been some people that I've been witnessing to from my past that I've been playing it too cool with. Now it's time to turn up a little bit of my healing and share it with some old friends. And I just got back in touch with these guys. They're the guys I used to like break and enter places with. Anybody? Anybody gonna leave me out here? Thank you. You know, they're the guys that like none of us should be driving home. They're the guys that go, I know stories about you, Pastor Sean. Let me come and talk at your church. They all threaten that. Have you told him this story? I said, no, I would never tell another human that story. My wife only knows that story. Jesus let me. Well, we know the story. I know you do, man. But I've been laying little nuggets towards him, trying to reach out and share some of the healing God's done in my life. In a way that's not offensive like it maybe used to be. Because when I first got saved, I left that group with, Jesus, 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 open your mouth. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jam it down their throat. They got to know what Jesus did. I was excited in a way that just made them go, man, one of those religious nut jobs. And I'm trying to get to a place now where I can reach out to them and love them where they're at, hang out with Jesus went in. Remember? Went into Levi's house, and it was they were partying hard. Sinners, drunkards, it was a party. And the Pharisees like, why is he in there? What's he doing in there? If he's the Messiah, he wouldn't be anywhere near those people. No, I came for those people. Stop the Z. So you got to get to the people. But let's do it with real Jesus. Not some manufactured garbage. Not some slogan or response. Not some expectation that he never laid out. Because we're supposed to follow in his footsteps. We've seen miraculous healings. We've seen people speak in tongues. We've seen people prophesy and give the exact word of the Lord. But it's out of order if we're not following him. It's a baby with a power tool. And all we do is tear the world up and tear the church up and tear each other up. And this is the year we don't do that no more. We say, I'm the church. We're going to follow him again. We're going to follow him like we ain't followed him before. And I don't know what that is for you. Just take it up 10%. Just take your 10% Jesus follow up. That's all I'm saying. It's like an air fryer. Just get yourself cooked good. Because the world needs a real authentic Jesus. And they need to see that you're really authentically following. Even when it's inconvenient. Even when it's the opposite of what everything you want to do. Even if it's logical to want to go and do something different. Lord, I just want to go, you know, my daddy's sick and, you know, in a few months he's going to pass and then I'll follow you. And no, now. That's rude. You are rude to me right now, Jesus. He said, no, I'm trying to be master. That's who you talk. That's who you said I am. Every Sunday you say, Lord, I love you. It's not friend, I love you. Buddy, old pal, I love you. My Goomba. Right? No, it's master and Lord. And he's asking us to get back in the boat one more time. It's time to get back into the boat with him. So if any of that's speaking to you during your season, I want you to stand. I want to pray for us. Because I believe this is one of the most important seasons in the history of the American church. I believe the world's never been more on fire than it's been today. And I can't solve China's drought problem. And I can't fix the Ukraine. And I can't make sure elections happen properly. But I can follow Jesus wherever he asks me to go. And you can follow him wherever he asks you to go. And if we all do that, we're going to kick some serious booty. The church is going to grow. Not the walls of the church. I'm talking the people, the disciples of the church are going to start growing. And we're going to start seeing signs and wonders and miracles again. Why? Because we're getting back in the boat with him. And letting him take it wherever he wants to go. So if you really want that and you're ready for that, I want you to raise your hands. It's a symbol. Not being spooky is a symbol, like a surrender, you know? It's like a helicopter, the spotlight on you. Lord, I purpose to be alone in this room right now. To ask whatever you want from me this year. Give me at least as good an attitude as Jody. Father, that I'd be a real disciple this year and I would follow you wherever you go. And whatever you heal me from, I would share it. Lord, if my faith would rise up and speak to situations again and see other people's lives healed, not because of the Jesus show,
or the church show, Lord, because God, you're on the move. Because you love and care. So, Father, we're asking that you draw us personally back into our follow. And no one could take us off, and we wouldn't be judging those that don't go. Father, we would be so concerned about following you, we forget about who else isn't. And we forget about where you're taking us to and how dangerous. Is that wolves, Lord? Is that a storm? Is that a leper? Is that a centurion? It doesn't matter because you're there, I'm there. Where you are, that's where I want to be. Lord, I pray this church would be where you are this year like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this place and I love you guys. And I feel like this year is going to be one of the best years for us, but doesn't mean things aren't starting tough. We're down a few soldiers. That's okay. I see some rising up, actually. I see some rising up. I really do. I'm not trying to pressure. I'm telling you, I see them. I see them. So as you follow him, let them follow you. Someone more beautiful than me wants to speak. I want to get off stage.
No, I actually just want, I just had an announcement, but can we just give God glory for that word? Amen. You know, giving our lives to Jesus, we really aren't giving our lives to him. We're surrendering our life. We're dying to ourselves. And Jack Hayford once said, when you make decisions in the Christian life, you actually have to make a decision against yourself in order to grow. So let me put that in perspective for you. When you want to get out of debt, you got to make some decisions against yourself in order to pay off debt. When you want to get in shape, you got to make some decisions against yourself and not eat certain things and actually do certain things in order to grow. In order to grow spiritually, you got to make some decisions against yourself in order to fast and pray. And so I want to just ask you to ask Jesus that question today. God, what decision do I have to make against myself to die to myself in order to grow to be what you've called me to be? Amen. Can we do that individually this week? Because when you're healthy, we're healthy. When I'm healthy, we're healthy. Because individuals being healthy make healthy marriages make healthy families make healthy churches. Amen. Amen.